Welcome everyone. My name is Abby Unita. I'm a PhD candidate at Utrecht University in Utrecht, the Netherlands. Together with my colleague Francesco Montesano, we've conducted an interview with Sir Richard Jolly on whether or not global goals can work as a governance mechanism.
Sir Richard Jolly is Honorary Professor and Research Associate of the Institute of Development Studies at the University of Sussex. He was the second director of IDS from 1972 to 1981, and then from 1982 to 1995, deputy executive director for programs of UNICEF, with the rank of UN Assistant Secretary General. We asked Sir Richard about his experiences and thoughts about global goals as a governance mechanism.
Thank you, Sir Richard, for joining us. We're very much keen to learn from your experiences. First of all, can you tell us about how you became a goal enthusiast?
I was surprised when I managed to think through my experience, because I'm had 15 years with UNICEF, and that is when I really saw goals in action. And also when I did, soon after, a study on the influence of UN goals on action worldwide, which came out to be much more positive than people think. But coming to myself, I realized that it was in 1960s, early 60s, when I was a PhD student at Yale University, working on African education, that I became conscious of the UNESCO goals that were set for education in Africa, Asia, and Latin America, 1960 to 80. Then I became conscious of the GDP goal that was set by the UN in 1961 or 62 for economic growth over the 1960s. That had been proposed by President Kennedy in a speech to the General Assembly. And again, 5% growth of developing countries to approach this target by 1970 had been dismissed by everyone as totally unrealistic. Again, it was actually more than achieved. I think it was 5.6% over the 1960s, over the whole 10-year period, not approaching it by the end of 1970, but by the end of the 1960s. And I think it was 55 or something countries. And that was involved many aspects of support for action for children worldwide, but certainly the use of goals for action for children and goals that we mobilized behind as a UN agency and which were had a major impact over the 1980s was a very important experience in my life. I learned that if a UN agency gets behind goals, works at country level, so in the case of UNICEF, well over 100 countries, developing countries, and through UNICEF's national committees, mobilizing action and support in the industrial countries, so virtually all countries of the world. If you could get that sort of UN agency commitment in support of goals, it was amazing what could be achieved. But the key point of those lessons was not just to set goals as with the SDGs, but to have a UN organization mobilizing action country by country. And I believe that applies even more to the SDGs, as I'll come to. But I learned through UNICEF, and I'm an economist, that the normal economic thinking of an economist, you need to have clear objectives, and then you need to have a plan. Oh, and then you need to monitor the plan. much, much more than that. That's what I learned. First, you need to mobilize public opinion and awareness using the media. And that's what UNICEF did. You need to mobilize action at the highest level. Normally, all those things I was talking about, diarrhea, immunization, that's Ministry of Health business. Oh no, UNICEF realized if we wanted to get national action on a major scale, you needed to go straight to the head of state. I think that applies to the SDGs. It needs the SDGs, not just the environment minister or the children's minister. The head of state needs to make commitments.
Thank you, Sir Richard. What we now have is a comprehensive set of global development goals called the Sustainable Development Goals, or SDGs. What do you think is unique about the SDGs in addition to the scope? Do you think they have the potential to steer sustainable development?
Even UNDP said, oh no, only countries can set goals. We can't have international goals. Forgetting what had been done by Kennedy in the 1960s and by UNESCO. Anyway, now we've swung, and out of the MDGs, the Millennium Development Goals, we have the SDGs. The SDGs are unique because they are the first time the UN has set goals that apply to developed countries as well as to developing countries. Secondly, they had a unique process, 3 years to formulate them in New York, but also with NGOs, 100 or more non-government groups, staff members of the UN, and all governments. And thirdly, they're almost unique because with the MDGs as the first, the World Bank and the IMF have agreed to them. The IMF and the World Bank never agreed to any UN goals until the year 2000. They just said, no, no, we don't do that. Even the goal for aid was never adopted by the Bretton Woods institutions. Okay, so that's why I think they're unique. In terms of what action is needed, I think many of the things I've said need and are directly applicable to the SDGs. Leadership at country level and internationally at the highest level, heads of state. Heads of state then mobilizing, bringing in the rest of the agencies for the goals. More than the other goals I've been talking about, the SDGs need defining in terms of what are the priorities in each country and each locality, and I'll come back to that, because they are a wonderful idealistic wish list. And those who wish to be cynical can just say, well, look, we all want that, don't we? No, they're much more than that. And they will be much more than that if countries agree they must be made specific in relation to their own situation. So I'm a great supporter of the SDGs, not because they say everything, but because they open the door for serious action by every country and by every community.
Now, Sir Richard, you mentioned the crucial role a nation state should play in SDG implementation. But at this point, it's somewhat complicated by growing nationalist sentiments across the globe. On the one hand, we have unprecedented global aspirations, and on the other hand, we are seeing a resurgence of sort of inward-looking policies and nationalism. How do you see this tension between globalism and nationalism playing out when it comes to the SDGs?
Without being too dramatic, I think if we were to carry on for another 10 years with the level of disinterest, distrust, fake news about international action, we could set up a truly disastrous past for the world as a whole. Absolutely disaster. Because in relation to climate change, I would also say reduction of inequality and reduction of poverty. If we go on like this, we are setting up the world in an unsustainable manner. However, if many countries, including some of the bigger countries, the US, India, Brazil, I would say Britain, get back to something of the good sense of international action to global problems, and the SDGs shows, fortunately, the way and the goals and the target for 2030, we could make major changes. But I don't think anyone looking at it should pretend that business as usual of the last, since Trump was elected, perhaps is an obvious point. If Trump doesn't get elected, re-elected, and Joe Biden, I think you'll see the U.S. change. I think that will no longer be as the U.S. will never be as influential as it was. Trump has destroyed a lot of that. But I think if the U.S. changes policy, I think it'll have an important impact on the West. And I would hope also that China and India's leadership towards global action would also be more positive, because the goals obviously depend ever more on their own actions and their own leadership along the Belt and Road Initiative in Africa and so forth.
Sir Richard, you've made many interesting remarks about the SDGs and their role in the current global circumstances. But are there any additional points you think are important to mention to make sure that the universal aspirations of the SDGs are translated into practice?
It needs to be followed up at the highest level in countries and at the local level in all countries. And I think that can make the difference, and it can interact. If the head of state is not doing enough right, then local councils could press for more action. I think the media attention and media monitoring and stories of success, very, very important. That's what we learned in UNICEF.
Thank you very much, Sir Richard, for such a wonderful and insightful interview, and also for your enthusiasm. It was very interesting to learn about your personal experiences with global goals in your work. So thank you very much.